Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard in this steamy dog days of summer and fire up a grill or a smoker. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome. And it is the weekend, so you must have your grill out by now. In this nice hot weather, it's the perfect time to be on your deck. Who wants to hang around a nice air-conditioned kitchen to do all your cooking?
That's right. Yeah, get out and sweat for your meat, right?
But, that's right.
It's all good. And you know what? We had some sweaty meat this week. Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah. But no, I did three different barbecues this week and got one later today, so that'll be capping off four. But we just, you know, tis the season to do barbecues for company picnics and things like that. And kind of had an opportunity to meld my, had my first opportunity to wear a name tag that said the name of my business that I make money at and the name of my business that I am a hobby at. And that was, I had a Home Life / Grilling Guys name tag on. So I was a customer and a vendor all at the same time at a, at an event we did, which was kind of cool. There's a countertop manufacturer in the country called Cambria, which is a quartz countertop, but their local fab
There's
shop.
There's a country called Cambria?
Right, yeah. Their local fab shop, Lakeside Surfaces up on the North Muskegon and Norton Shores area, had a party, and we were able to do the catering. Barbecue Bob and I came in with the portable barbecue, and but they set us up outside.
Oh, and Devil's Kitchen.
Yeah, that's where I want to talk about, because it was literally like 92 degrees, about 90% humidity, and the only thing that saved us, but it was a challenge too, was the wind.
I haven't felt heat like that since I broke down in Lovelock, Nevada.
Yeah. We won't talk about your love locks. It's kind of like, nah, whatever. We'll leave that one alone. But no, the challenge was, is if you've got an outdoor party, and we had to keep this food hot for 4 hours.
Right? Wasn't a problem.
Yeah, right. But hot enough that we didn't want it to go, you know, and below the danger zone and stay edible. So the point was, we had to tent our little chafing dishes. And we just took tinfoil, wrapped around them, but it keeps the wind off the flame, lets the heat go up. And it was just one of those things where you had to adapt when you're at the situation, because we weren't getting any heat on the meat. We brought it cooked. We weren't cooking there. We had cooked it earlier. But Bob cut the brisket and pulled the pork right when we were there. So that's another great tip.
I think the people liked it.
Oh, yeah.
That coleslaw you made was really good, too.
Yeah, they loved it. I mean, it
and, of course, those
great
schnitz buns that you always pick up are,
yeah,
your buns are awesome, man.
Yeah.
Just tell you that.
The Schnitzel Bank Bakery here in Grand Rapids, but yeah, if you got a local baker, it's just a little Vienna roll. It's got a hard on the outside and a real soft inside.
Kind of like us.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were a trooper. You let me duck out of there at 6 o'clock because I got a text saying the plane had landed.
Right.
And my new grandbabies arrived, and so I got to go to the airport and meet my daughter, Emily, and her husband, Matt, and our two little new granddaughters, which...
Your first time
finally,
seeing
them. Yeah, after 2 months, I finally got to hold the little critters, and man, they cry a lot at that age. I forgot. I woke up several times that first night, and... between Thursday and Friday to hearing wah, wah, the other end of the house. I just looked at my wife and she says, go get one. It's like, no way. No,
yeah.
They can deal with it.
Yeah.
They made them. They can deal with them. But so today, Saturday, we're having a big party for them at the house, and we have about 150 to 175 people showing up. So I have, last night I fired up the big trailer smoker, and I have briskets and butts from Sobeys. I have all kinds of treats. I got my Timber Ridge patio deep fryer out. I'll be doing some fries, And
no, I think I'm going to be doing some fries because I got to get on one of those pieces of machine to let you enjoy the company. So I'm going to come over and pull duty. You can point me in any direction you want me to go, and I'll be there, and we'll get her done.
Yeah, and anyway, so we're going to have a big throwdown, and we've got a half barrel of some Nookie showing up from Gravel Bottom. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We have all these friends of Emily and Matt's are like 30.
Right.
And they all have kids now. So the parties have changed.
Sure they have.
Yeah. So it's just a little sangria for the moms and just a beer or two for the dads, and because they've got duties.
Right.
They Everybody's can't got have families. A party like they used to.
Well, and that'll be interesting, Bob, with the pool and stuff, that there'll have to be, you know, a lifeguard on duty. Literally.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's everybody at your
so
pad swims.
My backyard has never looked so good. All you have to do is have a party, and you get Mama Mo on the scene. And we have a checklist. She's a list person. And she's got this massive piece of paper with just duty after duty. And they're all lined up except for about two. They're all lined out except for about two. So it'll get you in shape. And if that doesn't get you in shape, do like I do and go down to Snap Fitness. You talk about breaking out a sweat. I was there this morning, and the boys were with me. You just swipe your card, go in, and I'm telling you, there's a sensation you get when you get accustomed to that in your routine. As soon as I walk into Snap Fitness, I'm like, go. Because I have a workout playlist on my phone and a headset, and I hit the workout playlist, I throw my shoes on, I grab my bottle of water, and I start doing my routine. And an hour goes by so quickly that I very often don't even get to do all the workouts I want to do.
Sure.
It's awesome.
I'm going back to the list, okay, from Mo.
It's torture.
Because you butt-dialed me and you didn't know it. And I'm listening to her, and you go down this list inadvertently.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's like, Bob, don't you commit to something you can't do. And I'm just laughing to myself going, oh, man, is he in the throes of it all right now. And I don't even remember what it was, but she had you going somewhere or picking something up.
She does drive a hard bargain.
She's like, she's dealt with that before. Where he took on five things, got three done.
That's my middle name. But you know what? Otherwise, I probably wouldn't get as many things done as I want to. And I'm 59 now, and I've got all these things I still have to do in my life.
Right.
I got to go. There's no time to wait. So in the next segment, what we want to talk about is some failures at the grill. And barbecue failures we're going to hit first, and then we might hit a couple successes if we're lucky.
Right. Yeah, you know what? We've all had them, and you learn from them if you get a chance to do that. And I think you all have. Just be man enough to step up and say, okay, what did I do wrong? Later in the show, you'll hear one of the sales guys here from iHeart stopped in to join us, and he's got a brand new smoker, and he was having some challenges. So we're going to take an opportunity to talk with him a little bit and walk him through a new piece of equipment, because anytime you get something new, there's a learning curve.
And speaking of new equipment, if you go onto thegrillingguys.com and look at the icon for ThermoPen, you'll see right now they have a sale on ThermoPops. It looks like a little lollipop. $29.99. It reads in 3.2 seconds, as quick as a thermal pen does, but it's called a thermal pop. It looks like a little lollipop, and these are returned items that had a scratch or a nick, or the customer didn't know how to use it or whatever, but they're out of the package, and they're $29.
Factory
so
refurbs.
You save like $30 on them. They're really a very nice little pen to use. So that's on thegrillingguys.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook / thegrillingguys, and you can check me out on Twitter. It's grillingguy, and you might enjoy some of our pictures and our rants and postings, or you might hate us.
Always several good pictures when we go out on a barbecue. We try to capture the essence of what it is we're doing, and we'll post those pictures up, not just of the food, but
having fun. We need to start doing hot barbecue chicks on there. I think, you know, all the fat guys eating ribs are really turning people off.
Yeah, okay, I'll let you take those pictures. That'll be awesome. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about, hey, if you failed, learn from it. We're going to share some of our failures and maybe some successes. You're listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Baby, you just ain't into nothing yet. Feel something that you're never gonna forget. Baby, you just ain't into nothing yet. Nothing yet, you ain't been around.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Back, you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. That's kind of some happy bumper music, Brian. Kind of like coming back to that little get your foot just a tapping a little bit when you're standing out by the grill. But you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob and I are going to do something now that it takes a real man to do, and that is to admit your failures and how we might have learned from them. Because the more and more we talk to people, we don't need real sophisticated grilling advice on the Grilling Guys. Sometimes we get too far down the road and we forget that most of the people that listen to the show are maybe just need a little more fundamental help than they do on the
Yeah,
on the
sometimes it's a little too
stuff.
Much inside baseball here.
Right, exactly. So
we apologize for that.
We want to take a step back and talk about maybe some early failures that we've had that maybe you've experienced too, and how to turn a negative into a positive, make some lemonade, right? So what you thinking, Bob?
Yeah, who hasn't been at the grill and maybe their first gas grill, especially I think of, and had some of their favorite friends over, and they're putting the burgers or the steaks or the brats on, and they go back outside to check on everything, and the grill is cold. You ran out of propane. That's a big one, and that one's bitten me a couple times. My first really nice gas grill was a Phoenix, and that happened to me. There were like three couples that were coming over, and I was so proud of my new grill because I sold them at my store, so I was happy to show these guys. But I didn't check my gas tank. And back then, I only had one tank. I didn't know that being a two-tanker was a good idea. Yeah. And by golly, I did go into town and find another tank, but it totally ruined the buzz.
Yeah, and the thing is that shop around for that propane. I don't have it hardwired anymore. And that propane, I went to one store. It was $16.99 for a tank. I went around the corner to the other one, drove by that one, but I saw it. I'm like, oh, this one's going to be a little easier. It was $21.99 for the same tank. $5 swing.
Isn't that crazy?
In one street.
And they just swapped the tank out now, too. You don't have to stand there and get it filled like you used
to. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the first time I cooked ribs, we were newlyweds. We had just built our house out in Lowell, and my brother gave me his old gas grill, and I kind of scoffed at it. Because I was a purist, and I thought, man, gas, that's just something wrong with that. So I actually started using it because we already had like three kids at that time, and I found that it was kind of convenient to get out and bang out a quick meal. So I used it a couple times, and this thing was 5 years old. It was a cheapie. It was like an old Charbroil or something. You know, it was 20-some years ago, Fiesta or something. And so I got kind of where I was used to it. I was, like, addicted to it. I wasn't even using my Weber anymore, my charcoal. So I thought, all right, I'm going to get brave. I got a handle on this thing. I'm going to do some ribs.
On a gas grill?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get out like an absolute mutton head, and I get this nice big two racks of ribs, and I throw them across my hot grates, and I shut the lid, and went in the house or did something else, and came back out about a half hour later to find they were absolutely black. So I slowed down the fire. I flipped them over to the meat side. I don't even know if I seasoned them, honestly. Right. I can't tell you what I did, but and then did the same thing to that side.
Oh,
and
wasn't good enough to burn one side.
No,
you had to burn both sides.
No, and I just kept cooking them until I thought they were tender enough to eat. And unfortunately, we had people over at that time too.
Sure.
Another lesson: don't practice.
There you are. Practice before you perform.
Don't practice on your guests unless you don't want them to come back. And I'm pretty sure they never did, because you couldn't even hardly cut between the rib sections with a knife. They were like
so charred and dry.
It was like plastic.
Right.
And you talk about ruining meat. And we were, you know, kind of newlyweds. We didn't have like all kinds of money to waste. So I had two nice racks of ribs that basically were garbage.
Right.
And I don't know what we ate, but we sure didn't eat those ribs because people were trying to be gracious and, oh, there's good flavor. And they're like breaking their caps off
their
teeth.
Boy. Come here. Yeah. Oop, drop that one. Sorry.
So I
dog wouldn't even eat them though.
So I went to school on how to, and I don't even think really it was the internet was big, and that was about 90. I don't even think the internet was big yet.
I was
then.
Just
so
at
to
Al
do your
Gore's
research
house at that time.
Yeah, to do your research, you had to go buy a book. So I bought the Weber cookbook and found out that there were a lot of things that I didn't know about grilling.
Right. Well, and so the moral of that story is cook them slow, cook them on indirect heat rather than direct heat, and use a thermometer. I mean, you'll hear us say that over and over, is check the temperature of what it is you're cooking, the internal temperature with a quick read thermometer. We like ThermoPens. You can find those on the Grilling Guys website.
But, you know, on ribs, you don't check the temperature.
Well.
So how are you going to check the temperature?
Well, you know, the thicker part of the meat, right?
There's not enough there to check, I mean, in my opinion. So I always just, I look at the pull away on the bone. And see when I get like a quarter to a half inch a bone sticking out from the end of the rib, and then I'll know they're getting close. But it's pretty hard, hard to get a temperature reading on ribs. Everything else, I agree absolutely with you on. Butts especially.
Right. So my buddy Bob was in the grilling business and selling grills and smokers for quite a while, and had some I guess factory demos that he had used, and one of them was a pellet grill. And the pellet grill I had not had any experience on, but Bob got a new demo in. So he's like, "Hey, Jop, I'll give you this grill." And I'm like, "Well, that's really nice, Bob. I appreciate that. I'll play with it, learn to work with it." And
it's practice.
Yeah, if you don't know what a pellet grill is, it's got a hopper on one end of it and a little auger.
Looks like an offset smoker.
Right, that augers these little pellets into a flame box, and that creates the heat inside the grill body. Okay, so it's on the left end if you're looking at it, whatever. There's a little dial that sends the auger more chips or less chips, kind of like a thermostat on it. Well, every once in a while, you got to clean this thing out. And so mine gets dirty after a big cook of butts, and there's grease in there and stuff, so I want to tear it apart and clean it. And that's another tip. Is that, you know what, just don't think your grill is going to clean itself. You got to get in there and get ugly and dirty at least a couple times a year, depending on how often you're using the thing.
It is dirty, too.
Because, and it'll be black, it'll be nasty, wear the gloves, wear something that you don't care if you ruin it.
And I'll butt in just for a second. What my trick is for that is I buy those cheap $5 Chinese rawhide gloves.
Yeah.
And I get those all black, and then I just chuck them.
Right, exactly. Because it's nasty in there. But the point is I took it apart to clean it all. And when I put it back together, I didn't read the instructions. I didn't get instructions. It was a used grill. I got it from Bob. I thought, hey, I remembered how to put this thing back together. There's only four or five parts in there. But where the chips dropped into the firebox, there was a little shield. and I put the shield in upside down
backwards.
When I rebuild it backwards. Yep. So what happened is the next time I used the grill, the fire started, but as the chips came in, they piled up.
Yeah, the pellets were backing up in the auger.
In the auger. So the fire went back through the auger and up into the hopper. And, of course, I'm thinking I'm smoking, right? So I came home at noon for lunch, fired the thing up because I'm going to have smoked food tonight for dinner, right? And it's the cool thing about a pellet grill is it's a set it and forget it thing. It's automatic. It augers them through. I come wheeling in the driveway at like 5:30 at night after work. That hopper is just smoking. I mean, it's like a chimney stack that's blowing out of there. And I get up there and it's so hot I can't touch it. But then, so I go get the cheap leather gloves. I open up the hopper. Whoo, up comes a fire because now it's got oxygen, right? The lid was on it before. So now it's got oxygen. It's like, well, what the hell am I going to do? So the only thing I figure I can do is I shut the lid again, but it's still smoking. So then I went over and got a thing of water, and I started pouring the water on it a little bit. It took me about a half hour to get that thing pouring out because I didn't want to pour water in an electric mechanism, right? So I just had to ease it in there and scoop them out, but what a stinking mess. So my failure is make sure that you put your equipment, when you take it apart to clean it, note some things.
Well, you had a couple mistakes there. Number one, you were going to set it and forget it. And
right.
With a pellet grill, I never recommend leaving it unattended. You should be home when you use it because it's an electrical appliance. It's mechanical. It's got all those things going on with it. So it's not like a charcoal smoker.
Maybe don't go on. Right, yeah.
You know? People do this all the time. I mean, it happens, especially right. With that Louisiana smoker.
Yeah. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some of the successes that we've had and give you a few tips and techniques to make your next barbecue in your backyard a envious place to be in your neighborhood. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale. Or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6-packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street. Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed, got your feet on the floor, and are headed out to your deck or your backyard to fire up a grill or a smoker. It's going to be a hot one, and we're in these dog days of summer, and nothing better than to grab a cold microbrew and step up to the grill or smoker and get her going and just enjoy your weekend. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking over there, man?
Well, I wanted to talk about a couple more failures. I have so many of them. It's a deep well. I can just keep digging, and I can tell you all kinds of horror stories. And that's part of the learning curve. If you don't take any chances, you won't fail.
Right.
Guaranteed success at
but
nothing.
But you won't get better either.
At nothing.
Right.
Yeah. One funny story that comes to mind is my wife loves to bike, and I go with her occasionally, but she has hers in her Jeep all the time. And Van Andel and Flickama outfitted it nicely to carry that bike. So she talks me into going on this bike trail. We end up down in Byron Center, Michigan. And so I thought, well, let's ride into town. There's a little ice cream shop there. So we come off the trail and we ride into Byron Center. And then I said, well, there's a big butcher shop I want to show you. I did a remote there with Kevin Matthews when I first got the show going. And it was kind of cool. We were outside grilling. And sure enough, they still had that grill outside when we rolled up. The thing was on fire.
Really?
Yeah. Because they, again, you know, they had a couple ladies running the showroom. And they just threw some meat on it, went back into the store, and left that thing unattended. And it's a propane grill. And this thing was ablaze. I couldn't believe it. And I just flew up, dropped my bike, ran over and shut that gas tank off and quick disconnected it. And really, literally getting burned in the process. But it was going to explode. I mean, I don't know that a tank will explode, but I saw it happen once in a house fire, and I thought, this would be a calamity. I should have probably just, you know, rolled it out in the lawn and let it blow up out there. But
yeah.
I took the chance of
Barbecue Bob is
turning
here to save
it
the
off
day.
For him. Yeah, and that was really scary.
Yeah.
Propane scares the crap out of me.
Well,
it's very dangerous fuel.
It is.
Much worse than natural gas. But the real failure for me was when I first started at Impact and they found out I was doing barbecue. They asked
Impact's
me,
the church, right?
Yeah, yeah. They asked me to do a bunch of pulled pork. And it was probably before I knew you or before you were involved with me. But so I recruited a bunch of help from in the church. And as I'm throwing these country ribs on and doing, because we're feeding for like 4 or 5 hours. So I'm throwing country ribs on and pulling off
this.
Product. And
they
got some helpers
cutting
along.
Cutting boards.
No, yeah. they actually were commingling the tongs that we were handling the meat with.
Raw product and cooked product.
It was my fault. I didn't separate the work areas well enough, and you got a couple volunteers there. And so they're going, you know, grabbing tongs and stuff and then going after the cooked meat. And sure enough, I had the Hershey squirts that afternoon, and I heard that quite a few other people did too. You contaminate the food, man.
Right, yeah. And there, you know what? That is
That's
a big safety tip is that if you're dealing with raw product versus cooked product, have a separate set of everything. If it's the cutting boards, if it's knives, if it's tongs. I mean, you can clean them between, but just disinfect
the
soap.
The raw
you know,
meat area is a contaminated station. Everything needs to be contained right there. And when it comes off the smoker or grill, it goes to a totally different station. Do not commingle those stations.
Right.
And then you'll never have a problem.
Yep.
But it's pretty easy. That
if you have to, because of the limited area on your grill or your deck, but just while it's cooking then, get some regular disinfectant spray that kills all the germs, wipe that stuff down, wash it down with hot water, rinse it off, because you will make people ill, and it's no fun when people are over at your house and all of a sudden an hour or two after dinner, they're at the bellyache and there's a line at your bathroom. You know, that's not where you want to go. I have a propane story. I know I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. I lived in the country. I hardwired my grill to the deck, right? So I don't have to hang on to tanks. I don't have to shuffle them. They're coming right off my LP pig out back. Well, where I mounted that, it was up on a second story deck. and off my kitchen, and it was kind of in the corner of the house.
So you plumbed it from your natural gas system in your house?
LP gas, yeah.
I mean, your LP gas.
I had LP gas, but yes. Yep, so it was plumbed in. But what I did is early on, I'm like, well, the grill looked really good right there. Well, that fire burns hot with that LP gas, and I had it too close to the house. And the first couple times I didn't notice it, but I was melting the siding. I mean, that was close to burning my house down, right? If you got vinyl siding on your house, that stuff's made to withstand a lot of heat and a lot of cold, but it got all, as opposed to straight lines, it got all squirrely, right? Because it got so hot from the radiant heat off of that grill that it melted my siding. And I'm like, okay, wait, I'm the grilling guy, and I don't know enough to pull my grill away from the house far enough to let it breathe.
Well, you weren't a grilling guy back then.
Yeah, well.
You were just an insurance guy.
Right, yeah. Even better.
You shouldn't have known better. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the grilling guys and the insurance guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is the weekend, and we're talking about all of our miserable failures. So if you just want to switch the channel and listen to something better, we understand.
Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get a lot better. But you know what? We all learn from our failures, and people think that because we're on the radio and we're talking about it, that somehow we don't have mistakes and that we're grilling guys and everything just turns out perfect with the right seasoning and the right flavor. And that's not the truth. You know, we hit it most of the time, but yep. Every once in a while,
still make some stupid mistakes.
Right.
Right when you think you're just really the Buddha, you're not.
Right.
I have another one. I had to feed recently about 300 or 400 people, and that's a lot of people to feed, so you've got to do bulk smoking in my big trailer smoker, and I actually had to do it in two sessions. Well, I overloaded it so much with meat that temperature offset that I put into that smoker box with 20 cold butts was more than I could really overcome in the normal time I'm used to smoking something. And here it is, an hour and a half before I need to leave and pack up all this hot food product and go, and my butts are like at 157.
And they need to be at 190.
I'm panicking. I'm trying to crank that fire up. I'm trying to gun it. So what you do then when you fall behind is you take that product out, and it was wrapped, and you throw it in the oven. You crank that oven up to 400. And I can tell you this actually does work because it saved my keister that day.
Your butts. Saved your butts.
I was supposed to be there at 11:30. I didn't get there till 12. I had to feed at 12:30.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, I was sweating it and I was white knuckling it all the way to this Bandit Industries that I was at a few weeks ago. They were really gracious. There was, I think we fed 350 people. My daughter Olivia helped me out and massive crowd, but I'll tell you what, I was really sweating it thinking I didn't do this right.
Well, you know, as much smoking as we both do, you've got an idea. If I've got to feed this, you start working backwards with the math to say my stuff needs to go on, because the flip side of that is you don't want it done 4 hours before you want to go there with it either. You kind of want to hit it, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes before I'm supposed to leave. If all my stuff's done, I'm cool, I load it up and it goes. And when you get to that point and you realize it isn't happening, what you're describing is that you put too much product on a grill and it couldn't keep the heat up enough. And that was something that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, you're not doing parties that big all the time.
But you know what? I did make up my mind, and I talked to ABS yesterday. I'm ordering an ABS judge on a trailer frame. And it's going to have the rotisserie in it. I cooked last week in Boston, and I cooked on a giant Southern Pride. And having a giant rotisserie to throw all your meat on is so nice, so much easier. You just hit the button, and the rotisserie comes around and brings the basket up. You pull your product on and off. You hit the button, and it rotates again, and the next one. So much easier than sliding racks in and out. I'm hooked on a rotisserie. So Mr. Hillman at ABS is making me a big judge trailer. So if you want that trailer of mine,
you're going to get a great deal on it
because it's a sweet.
Well,
piece
I tell you
of
what,
equipment.
Sir. Ever since I've known you, you've had that thing, and we've cooked thousands of pounds of meat on that thing, and it still chugs along every time we use it. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with one of the iHeart sales guys, Jeremy, who bought some new equipment and came in and asked us a little bit about how to use it and explain some of the issues he might be having. So we thought maybe you would have some of those too.
That's right. Go to thegrillingguys.com for all your resources and check us out. Like it, follow it. You can also do an RSS feed if you want to podcast our show. I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. A little Jack and Diane. Get them out on your back deck and fire up a grill and enjoy a little sunny summertime. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking over there, man?
Oh, I just think of one of my success stories that I'm most proud of. And we go to Gulf Shores every spring. And one year we went with a group and we'd go with different people, it seems like. But this time it was in Pensacola. And my friend Mark Mulder, the guy I brew with, looks at me and says, "Hey, Barbie brought some ribs. How are we going to cook those?" And we're camping at, Fort McHenry. So I'm like, ribs on a campfire? I'm sweating bullets. And he's looking at me like, "You're going to help me." Yeah. So I'm like, well, what do you have? And he goes, "Well, my little grill." He's got this little Weber Smoky Joe.
Yep.
Fantastic piece of equipment for $99. So I started scratching my head. You got to think quick because it's now like 2 o'clock and it's like, they're going to want to eat today. So I had him cut those ribs into 3 rib sections and we skewered them together to make like racks all standing up. So we got a fire going and I took some tin foil and made like a barrier, a whole bunch of tin foil, aluminum foil. And I pushed those coals over to half of the thing. And I left a big trail of aluminum foil behind it. And we literally, so the bottom half of it was lined with foil and there was a big foil barrier. And then we put the ribs in on that foil, standing up on end and crisscrossed them and stacked up that little Smoky Joe with 3 racks of ribs all bound together. It can be done. And then we didn't have any flavor wood, so we went on the beach and got a piece of driftwood.
Oh, yeah. That a little salty, but it was all right.
Fortunately, yeah. Barb had marinated these ribs for like a day or two, and they were so moist that they withstood all that torture we put them through. And I'm telling you, these things turned out so well. I kept having to rotate them in the stack.
But sure.
That's a success. That's a win. You can do it.
Well, that's improvised, right? And you did what you had to do to get it done. And, Bob, that's kind of cool, that Pensacola story. We got a guy joining us in the studio right now, Jeremy Bolker, the sales and new business executive at the radio station here. But
iHeartRadio.
Yep. Beside him being a star performer in the radio sales business, he's a budding grilling and smoking expert. And we wanted to bring him in because during the break, we had a nice conversation about some of your challenges that you're having, and you got a new piece of equipment. So let's talk about that smoker first, because you had a couple things that I think other people might be experiencing.
Right. Well, the smoker that I got is really sort of a knockoff of the Weber Bullet, okay? But what it did come with was a bowl, a big bowl that you fill it up with water. And so what I've been experiencing, I've had some good success with brisket, believe it or not, which I think is a pretty tough one to conquer. I was so happy about doing that. But what I found with this water is that it seems to be cutting down the cooking time about a good 30 to 40, if not 50%. So the first few times I was using it, I was leaving the stuff on there for just way too long.
A little bit of a growing market. They call them water smokers. Mm-hmm. And Jop was correct. It is the steam that assists in transferring that heat because it's a conductor. And it keeps your food moist.
Right. And with the chips, though, I'll tell you, it's probably critical, the first hour, an hour and a half,
yep,
the wood chips to get that infusion of the, of the flavor.
So, Jeremy, let's step back a little bit. This is a charcoal smoker.
Correct.
Right? And then you've got a layer of chips on top of the charcoal, mm-hmm, and then the water is above that. So the chips are not in the water.
Correct.
The chips are below the water. So I'm getting smoke from dry chips, but I'm getting the hydration from the pan of water.
Exactly. You're getting the hydration. However, I will say, as a prerequisite, what I had read, the wood chips themselves, I mean, I had soaked them in water for at least about 3 hours, 3 to 24 hours or so, as they say, and then drain them out a little bit, throw it right on top of the hot coals.
Right.
Then that's where that smoke, comes into play there. But, guys, ribs have been the challenge. It just, no matter what, they
just
seem
to really
char.
So tell us what you're doing with your ribs.
What I will do is I will do the normal process of get the charcoal going, a few charcoals, hot briskets, put it on top of some cold briskets, put it on there.
Okay. Briquettes?
Briquettes, yeah.
Yeah, or are you burning the old briskets that didn't turn out, or are you using those now for fuel?
right, exactly. Yeah, it's like a flux capacitor or something like that. You can put anything in there and travel back to 1985. But, yeah, so with the ribs, it's pretty much I'm going raw dog on there, okay? And I'm not putting any sauce, marinating it for roughly 12, 24 hours with a dry rub, patting that in there pretty good. And
are you
then
taking the membrane off the back of the ribs?
What's a membrane?
Okay, if you flip the ribs over so that they're arched up and you're seeing the bone,
okay,
you take a butter knife and slide it from the end of the bone down in underneath the skin that's on the back, you'll find that this plastic-like skin film comes off, and you use a paper towel to grab it because it's really slippery, and you just start peeling that off, and you peel that whole membrane off the back of the ribs because
really?
That actually blocks the smoke from penetrating the meat. So that's a big help. And then it's a smaller smoker, so you're probably cutting your racks in half.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Then what are you doing?
Well, and then away she blows for 3 hours or so after it gets going, and then it just seems like they're almost done, or just it's completely charred, even with no barbecue sauce on it.
Okay, so maybe your temperature's a little high.
Yeah.
And then when you see about a quarter to a half inch of that bone sticking out on the end, in other words, the meat is starting to shrink, you're reducing your fats, and the meat starts to shrink up, and you got about a quarter or a half inch of bone sticking out, then it's time to wrap. Then you want to wrap those. And
not as in like a hip-hop wrap. We're talking
yo-yo, you could do that if you like.
Got it.
But no, what you have to do is get some foil and tent them. So you get a nice piece of foil. Randy loves foil. And
foil's your friend.
And then put them in there and fold the foil up over the top and sort of crimp it together so that the foil is on top of the meat, not touching the meat, and then set them back in and bring them up and put them in for like another hour or so. And the test form is so that when you lift that rack of ribs up, you pull it out of the foil, you lift the section of ribs up, and you hold them on the end. If they start to tear away from the bone a little bit, that's just right. Yeah. You don't want them falling off the bone. You want them to start breaking away, so when you bite a rib, you're kind of lightly pulling the meat away, and then you're at perfection. And then what you can do, you get them to that point, you take them out of the foil, you put them back in the smoker. If you like sauce on your ribs, that's a good time to brush some sauce on them, and maybe a little honey and butter, whatever you like finishing them off with, and put them back in for another 15, 20 minutes so that sauce gets a little smoky. You can even throw a few more chips in then and re-smoke them to put a nice little dark finish on them, and you should have perfection.
Yeah, because that it's more or less like a jerky, and I'm not trying to make jerky,
right?
But that's what's sort of like the top of that.
Yeah, you're losing your hydration.
Yeah.
You're doing Southern style. That's Jeremy Bolker. Awesome sales executive.
Guys.
If you need
you
to
guys.
Run some ads with iHeartRadio, you got to get a hold of Jeremy because he's a fun guy. We've hung out with Jeremy in the past at birthday bash and different things.
Right. So. No, we have.
Good fella. Hey, don't forget to check us out at thegrillingguys.com and just check out our website because it's pretty big and fat and there's lots of recipes. There's tips for guys like Jeremy who are struggling with things. And all of our sponsors are on there. There's buy links for ThermoPens. And just all of our friends in the business, Stormy Cromer, and it's a good resource.
Jeremy, you're a man with a new grill. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. The best pasties in Lower Michigan, guaranteed.
Gravy.
And you only eat ketchup on them. Okay, today's Man Law says, and under no circumstances shall a man ever defer control of the television remote to a female unless it's your mom.
Well, okay.
So since you like gravy so much, I found the job for you at the party this afternoon.
What's that?
Well, we're going to do some poutine.
Oh,
so
there we go.
I'm going to let you make some gravy, and you can put gravy and cheese on people's fries. How's that sound?
You know what? I'm going to bring a couple other surprises for you, too. Maybe little scallions, maybe some chopped bacon. We're going to make us some big old poutine.
All right.
But you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And get out in your backyard and create some grill envy in your neighborhood.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
And now it's time for a little bonus minute from Barbecue Bob and Jop. We want to refresh and reset the upcoming GI barbecue events in our progress. Barbecue Bob, what you got, man?
Well, we've got one smoker delivered. We've got two en route right now to Perforated Tube and Ada for storage. And those are big American Barbecue System Judge smokers. And we're still trying to nail down the last two bases, but Uncle Sam is really slow to go. But anyway, Twisted Rooster and the Meritage Group has stepped up alongside us again. They already donated like over $3,000 in cash, so they want to do something again. So God bless you folks at the Meritage Group. That's awful nice. And Jop, you and I are going to do an event with them somewhere at one of their locations. I'm thinking Twisted Rooster, but that's going to be up to them. We'll go wherever they want. But just also wanted to send a thank you out to the other great people and companies that helped us out. Perforated Tube and Ada. He's allowed us to warehouse everything there. Original Juan gave us three pallets of American Stockyard barbecue sauce.
Ooh, that stuff's good.
And it is so good. Well, American Stockyard is one of my favorites in the world, but Original Juan is the manufacturer that makes a lot of people's competition sauces. So they're great people. Three skids. We're talking like $15,000 worth of sauce. Huge gift. Stormy Cromer gave us $4,000 worth of monogrammed hats. God bless those people. Henry Repeating Arms gave us rifles to auction off. And aren't they like the best lever action rifle in the world?
Oh, and we were able to draw over $1,000 each right yeah. to the cause for that.
Do you know that that's
Henry helped us with?
The largest lever action rifle manufacturer in the world?
Sure.
And they're American made. So they're great people. And of course, the Chase Creek Smokehouse people allowed us to do the event at their place, and they donated $1,000. So that's an incredible crew. If you've never been to the Chase Creek Smokehouse, it's on US 10, just west of Reed City exit
off 131.
Yep. And it's when you pull in, you're going to be shocked at how big and beautiful this place is. And they just have a wonderful group. Parker Charcoal. They sent up four skids of the best charcoal I've ever used, and I'm so appreciative to Patricia and her brother down there, the Parkers, for donating that, and they're willing to donate more. ABS Smokers out of American Barbecue Systems out of Kansas City, Olathe actually, they just gave us like a half-off deal on as many smokers as we needed. And well, I cooked on that one at Fort Bragg, and I'll tell you what, I knew I wanted a new smoker when I cooked on this thing, because it's like, look at how the business has advanced, and they just
technology
every couple
has
years
has evolved.
These guys took my old style smoker and then put it to steroids with the heat shields, with a larger rack, stronger racks, all these things, stainless steel inside. And
they'll do a rotisserie option too on
those,
right?
Yeah, mine's going to have a rotisserie on it, so I'm pretty excited about that. And so all those people are helping us up with GI Barbecue. You can go to GIBBQ.com. You can check out the effort. We've kind of laid off it for a while because we're trying to get the destinations squared away with Uncle Sam. And my friend David Webb from Sirius Patriots helping me nail down a couple bases right now. Hopefully we can get that done. But go to GIBBQ.com. We still need a little more money to get over the finish line. Operation Injured Soldiers is actually helping us maintain that money. It's a 501c3 organization, so they're handling all the money. It's totally legit. 100% of the funds are going to the effort. We appreciate you listening. It's the Grillin' Guys. Go to thegrillinguys.com and give us a shout.